A few weeks ago, here in this worship center and several other places on our campus, the ladies had a retreat, and I wanted them to just share so that we could get a picture of what God is doing. And I appreciate so much Nancy and Mary and so many others probably that helped you in accomplishing this. So I asked Nancy if she would come and share. I think she asked also Megan is going to come share, and Janet, and whoever feels led of the Holy Spirit, you share too. We're interested in encountering Him today, not just getting through a message. Okay? So I'm going to let Nancy come share. Thank you. You're welcome.
The beauty of the sovereignty of God, and that was the theme of part of the theme of our retreat that we're, and so many things have been mentioned this morning, but we're all smack dab in the middle of the center of God's answered prayer. And sometimes we see it and sometimes we do not. And the amazing thing was, I've been meeting with a group of women for over 20 years, and we gathered together in the fall to seek His face. And it just so happened, there's no coincidences for a child of God, right? But it just so happened that after 16 years, this year, we came up homeless. There was a little snafu at the place that we, at the retreat center that we had gone to for 16 years. So these women were homeless. And when this happened, it was a little checkup from the neck up for me. And it was like, okay, wait, God is in this, you know, let's wait. And so I waited. And then as God would have it, I mean, God brought me to a place that used to be a retreat center, right? And then to ask Donnie, I felt like going, Queen Esther going to the king and holding out the, like, would he hold out the scepter? It's like, hey, I got a group of homeless women, and we always gather together, and could we come here? And he was like, yes. And then Mary stepped in. God brought all the pieces together. So it was absolutely incredible. But where you guys come in, so that you, I mean, and the wonder of what God has done, the Sunday before the retreat, all the work had been done. Everything had been written. All the handouts, everything, the videos, everything had been done. And our pastor, we are very, I know you know this, but to be so incredibly blessed to sit and worship with a pastor who seeks the Lord and has a fear of the Lord and is willing to surrender his agenda in order to follow the Lord. And so he just said, we're not doing that thing in Ephesians. And he stepped in and he brought out Psalm 34. Well, wouldn't you know, and that's in our retreat. And then that happened after we were singing the goodness of God. It was like, and that is in the retreat. And so I'm just thinking, Lord, how beautiful are you to confirm when we can't see the way, and that was even mentioned today, when we don't know what's coming, we know he is faithful. And so it was just incredible to come and worship here and have the ability to just be smack dab in the center of his will and just to know that we are either in the middle of an answered prayer, coming out of an answered prayer, or coming into an answered prayer, and for him to continue to open our eyes to see and connect the dots to be able to recognize his hand so that we can magnify the Lord and give him all the praise and all the glory and worship him. So,
amen. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Nancy. Megan, you
are. This is scary. I was going to do this from my seat, not from up here. Okay. Anyways, so many thoughts, so I need them to come together. We'll see if that happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But that thing that Nancy just said just slapped me in the face again, because when she said it at the retreat, I was like, okay. Which this is all going to come full circle, so hang on. That we're either, say it again, we're either in the middle of an answered prayer, coming out of an answered prayer, or going into an answered prayer, and she flipped that on us. Well, no, she used that to flip. Anyways, because we always say, like, you know, as children of God, like, we're in a trial, coming out of a trial, survived a trial, blah, blah, whatever. Like, we look at it as the negative because we're humans. But then she said that, and that Okay, it goes with all the things. So I was not in the mood to come to this retreat at all. And I was texting with another lady who came, and I was like, how are we going to do this? Because I can't do it. Like, this has been, like, such a week. I don't want to do this, whatever. But I committed, so I'm going. And Friday night was amazing. And then I was like, okay, I can do this. We're fine. Saturday, I'm used to retreats or whatever, so they called conferences, whatever the things are, where, like, you know, you watch the screen, you take notes, you're in your safe little seat, and then you sing up and sing, and then you eat lunch, and then you go back to taking notes, and it's fine. That's not what this was, and I didn't know that. There was zero warning. And on Saturday morning, Nancy spoke, went over some scripture, went over some life lessons that all hit home for me, and then she says, oh, grab your... That was rude. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. She said, grab your packet on the way out the door. Grab your lawn chair. Go be wherever you want to be. And I'll come around playing music when it's time for lunch. And I think me, I won't speak for everyone, but I feel like me and like the group of girls I was here with all kind of made eyes at each other like, huh? Come back for lunch? You mean this isn't like a 10-minute breakout and then we come back and take notes and... So I go out in my lawn chair, and I'm like, whatever, like, great. I'm going to stare at the clouds, find some shapes. I'm not going to, whatever. So the paperwork was on perspective, and it was a little packet, and it's verses, and I grew up in church, so I'm like, cool, I'm going to read the verses, write a little thing, move on. That's not what happened. She came around with her, back up. So then also with this breakout, she had set up four rooms for to go like fully through communion and adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and
salvation,
the important one. So she set up those rooms and said, as you feel led, come to those rooms. And I'm like, oh, great. Walk into these random rooms. People are looking at you. I just have this weird everyone's watching me syndrome, which they're not. So I go out, I'm working on my perspective paperwork, and I start reading, and I'm like, oh, my perspective is all messed up. So I'm telling myself, okay, you have to go through all these steps. She said, go do these things. And as I'm thinking I'm getting up to come do the rooms, the Acts rooms, I was told that I was not leaving my chair. So I didn't, because my perspective was not ready to come do the Acts rooms. And so... I'm taking too long. She came through with the music, and I was not done with my packet. My packet that I thought was going to take me 20 minutes, and I was going to stare at clouds for 2 hours. I was not done with my packet. I hadn't touched my phone, which I also left Tony home with the kids, and they had activities. So, like, the amount of stress that was in my brain, it was all gone. Never touched my phone. Was like, I'm not done with my packet. We can't have lunch yet. And then went back for the afternoon session, and that perspective shift for me was amazing. Those of you who grew up in church, maybe I'm the only one, I'll just speak for me. Whenever we did the, you know, confess your sins, it was like, I lied to my sister. And like you write the action, the visible sin that you did, and you put it on the cross, and then it's gone forever, right? So perspective. So I came in thinking I was going to write down like, bad things that I've done and relive my whole past and whatever. And I didn't, because I sat and let God change my perspective. And when I came in, the words were not, oh, I lied to my sister. It was your heart place isn't right. Or stop, lack of trust, lack of believing miracles or things. So perspective shift, which went and just has rippled into everything since then, which is great. I mean, we just had an election that was stressful for, I think, all of America. And I didn't care. I voted, don't come for me. But I didn't care because perspective shift, and I just kept playing God is on the Throne. Like, that was just the song that was on repeat in our house for a week. And it didn't matter because perspective is all the things. Okay, I'm done.
Amen. Janet was gonna. No, go ahead. Go ahead, Jen.
Okay, I'll go quick. So I have a slightly different story than Megan in that I was actually told ahead of time by Mary that we were going to have some time to ourselves. So I was actually, I don't know if you remember telling me that, but I remember you telling me that because I have four kids, all young kids, so I was very much looking for some time to myself. I did not have any concerns about sitting by myself for 2 hours. Was thinking maybe I could even like close my eyes for a little bit. I did not. So for me, that's what I was anticipating doing, and then I started working through my packet as well, and my perspective also kind of shifted. And I was reminded of the verse in Isaiah that tells us those who wait upon the Lord will have their strength renewed. And so for me, my strength was renewed. I am tired most days, a little bit weary, a little bit worn out. And when I do come to the Lord, it's usually very rushed. It's usually kind of an afterthought. It's usually not my first fruit, I guess. It's kind of my last fruits. And so being forced into a situation where I had to sit and I had to rest and I had to wait upon the Lord, just the peace that I walked away with is just undeniably God-given and something that I need in my life on a daily basis, not just at a retreat. So that was my biggest takeaway, and I'm very nervous to be up here to be sharing with all of you. But one of the other things that I was able to think about with all of my time I had to rest and wait was the well ministry. And what was put on my heart is to go through with these kids what it means to share your testimony or a testimony. And so last week we had the opportunity to meet, and one of the students in our ministry, Bailey, who I asked before, she said I could mention her by name, but now I don't see her. Oh, that's good too. So we talked about a testimony and how your testimony, for me, my testimony of what God showed me during the retreat is something that's given to us by God. It's a story about Jesus and what he can do in our lives. And so we talked about that last week. And then Bailey had the courage to step out and share her testimony with the group. And then after she did that, every other student shared their testimony as well. So because she had the courage to step out and share, here I am as well. So I'm very thankful to Nancy and all the hard work that she did. Listening to all the women on the last session at the conference share what the retreat did for them was probably the most impactful thing for me as well, because as Megan shared, what she experienced with God was very different than what I experienced. And so that was just really encouraging to hear from all the women as well. So that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Jan is going to share. Thank you.
Y'all are brave. I have notes. Y'all winged it. I'm so proud of you. I'm going to read a little part in one of our handouts just to kind of set the tone. It says, life happens at an alarming rate, and unless we purpose to abide deeply in Christ, we will be prone to fear, anxiety, and every other peace-stealing tormentor. The world, our own flesh, and the devil provide constant opportunities for us to look away from Christ, forget the truth, and forfeit the peace that only Christ offers. I think that's true for all of us, men, women, everybody. So a retreat, through with that one. A retreat is an opportunity to steal away. I have been saved for 49 years. I've gone to a whole bunch of retreats in my life. I've been to retreats where the idea was just, oh, ladies, let's get away. Let's go camping out or, you know, to this place out in the nature and be away with God. And we would do some singing and we would do some talking and we would do some visiting and a little bit of learning. And you would come back and you were refreshed, but it was not really being alone with God. I've been to choir retreats where the purpose was, we are going to go, the emphasis is going to be worship. We're going to learn how to worship better so that we can, when we are before the church, we can worship and magnify the Lord. And that's all great too. But this was not that retreat. This was something totally different. And it was time to be alone with your Savior. It was time that you could literally be alone. When I chose to come early, that was an option. And I thought, what's that about? Come early. Like part of the invitation said that you were allowed to come early to the retreat. And I thought, well, the retreat starts at 6. Why would anybody come early? But I thought, I think I want to go early. So I did. I came early. And I was greeted by a lady I didn't know, one of Nancy's friends, who they've been meeting together for 20 years. And she was just delightful. She gave me a name tag. She gave me a packet. And she said, would you mind if I prayed for you? I really love praying for all the ladies as they come in. And I said, sure. So I think I probably did this while she prayed, so I get all the glory from it, you know. And she says, well, you're here early, so if you want to, just take your chair out back. And if you want, here's a handout. And spend time with the Lord by yourself. And I thought, well, that's different. Okay. So I did. And part of what was lovely is that we did have some handouts. I know some people are like, well, what would I be sitting and doing with God for by myself? What am I supposed to do? So there's a handout, but nobody graded it. Nobody looked at it. Nobody asked, did you finish your packet, Megan? Nobody did that, right? That wasn't part of the retreat, but it did allow us the time to be alone with God. So I'm just going to read a few scriptures and then I'm going to end. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. But the only way to do that is to take away time and be still, right? That's one. Romans 12:2 says that we are transformed by the renewing of our minds through God's word. Again, that takes intentionality. If you don't pull away and soak up God's word and time with him, how can he renew your mind? It's not magical. It actually takes intention. And then my favorite is 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled faces, looking as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit. So as we spend time with the Lord, that's how we're changed. That's how we become that image of Christ in the earth. And this retreat allowed us that time. I'm going to close by reading what was in the pre-retreat session, which was such a blessing. Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go by yourself, shut the door behind you, or go out into the, you know, land with your chair, and pray to our Heavenly Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. The handout said, your choice to seek God through a time of retreat is like shutting the door on the world, on the endless chaos and demands and tumultuous news. Breathe deep, dear one. You've been moving at a brisk pace, mentally and physically. Exhale slowly, releasing every care to God. Our retreat is a time to linger long, go slow, simmer and savor the goodness of God. Relax and receive all the Lord has for you, beloved one. Surrender everything into the hands of love, including your expectations for this time of retreat. You are safe and wise to entrust yourself fully into the hands of your Maker. He knows you better than you know yourself. He loves you more than anyone else does or ever will. All his intentions and plans for you are good, very good. And that's what the retreat was for me. Thank you, Nancy, for making it happen. Amen.
Thank you, Janet. Anybody else want to share? Okay, come on, Robin.
I have notes as well. I'm a better writer than I am a speaker. But so I'd never been to a retreat before, ever. And I didn't really have plans on joining this retreat. But if it hadn't been for my friend Kristen for asking me to go, I probably wouldn't have. Which that whole relationship, so Britt back here doing the sound, introduced to Jeff and I. So that's a whole new testimony. So for them to now be here and then her encouraging me. Anyways, it came full circle. But so the first night, what stuck out to me is Nancy was talking about what do we desire. And she gave her testimony about hers. And that was the only thing I wrote down that night in my notes is what do I desire, ? And I always thought like it had to be something like physical, like, you know, you're addicted to something. I don't know what it was. So the next day when we, you know, everybody's talking about going out and being by ourselves, I was like, I don't think I've ever been by myself without a phone in probably in the 80s as a kid when we didn't have technology. I don't know. But anyway, I even followed my friend Kristen out and was like, what are we supposed to do? It's like I was terrified to be by myself with God. I don't know why. Like, I was like, where do I begin? Where do I start? So I started working on the packet, but then I went back to my note about what do I desire? And I'm like, well, this is a good time to talk with God and figure that out. So anyways, I figured it out, and it was a whole therapy session for myself. And mine was just the need to seek perfection. I think I'm constantly organizing and cleaning, and I'm in the corporate world, so I'm always working. Like, that's why I have tendonitis. But anyways, so my whole conversation was about that and just the need to feel like I'll have it all together. But I realized the more I do all of that, it's like I don't have everything together. Like, I'm trying to, like, it's like, who am I doing it for and what for is what God asked me. Like, why are you doing all of that? So the time in isolation and, like, solitude, I felt more accomplished that day than I do cleaning my house or working. So it was a huge eye-opener for me. And then I came across a verse twice during that 2 hours, and I wrote it down twice, not realizing that I'd already wrote it down. But it's Romans 8:26. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So, that's my testimony.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Robin. I hope you have been blessed by hearing these ladies speak to us. You know, we all have times in our life where we need to get alone with God. Just let him speak to us. Not that we're always listening to somebody else or reading what somebody else has written. But when you think about what God wants to say to you specifically, and how he wants to guide you in that process, is such a rewarding blessing. I think in every testimony that was spoken today, it was the idea that I either did not want to come, I was hesitant, I did not want to be alone at that time. We all face that at different times in our life. But God knows. He knows when you are at that place where you feel like, Lord, I don't know what in the world to do. He does. And he wants to speak to you. That's the important thing I think that we can take away, is God has a desire to speak to you. Not to someone else and them to deliver the message. God wants to speak to you where you are. You may have a closet in your house. You may have a favorite place that you go to. But you are going to grow more faithful in your walk with Christ. And you are going to walk worthy, as we're going to talk about. You are going to do that because God has spoken to you. We can encourage each other. We can pray for one another. But ultimately, your relationship with God is the most important thing that could happen. Anytime, any day, He is ready to meet us. I want to take one statement out of the passage that I was going to preach on, but not as much now. I'll do that at a later time. Y'all hear from me all the time. And it's refreshing. It's refreshing to hear how God works in the lives of different people. But I want you to think about this statement. In verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. There's one Spirit. Just as you also were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." When Paul says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord," let me ask you a question about your life. Would you describe yourself as being a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ? Has He captured your heart? Has He captured the things that were in your life that were not healthy and put them aside? Have you come to a place in your life where you say, "Lord, I don't want to do my will, but I want to do yours"? Have you come to a place in your life where you say, "Lord, I will give you my unconditional yes"? Everything that I hope for, everything that I dream about, I'm going to surrender that to you because you have a better way of managing that than I do myself. Paul was a very successful man in the things that he did. But as Paul grew in his faith, he recognized God is so much more than me. He's so much more than all the things around me. He's so much more than all the things I can dream about. and he surrendered to him. He wasn't imprisoned because he did something wrong. He was imprisoned because he was given to God. And the persecution that he experienced in that moment was something because of he was a follower of God. You know, a long time ago, someone would say, is there enough evidence in your life? If you were in a court and you were being judged on how good your Christianity is, I don't know if that's the best word, but how faithful you are as a believer. Would that court would that court have enough evidence about you to say what people say about you is true? You are a follower of Christ. I see it as individuals have come and testified. If you look at your life, and that's really what this is all about, looking at our life and saying, is there something you want to do through me that I have been hesitant to let you do? Give God an opportunity to do that this week. Give him the opportunity to show you what we talked about in Ephesians chapter 3, the end of the chapter. He is able to do more than we think or imagine as we surrender ourselves to him. So I want us to take a few minutes to pray today and to look at your own heart, to look at the perspective that you bring to what God is doing in your life. We haven't done this in a long time, but as we bow before the Lord, will you hold your hands out, the back of your hand facing up, to symbolize these are the things that I am holding on to in my life. Ask the Holy Spirit what those things are. It may be an issue of trust. It may be a child. It may be a parent. It may be some circumstances in your life, whether it's job related or family related, neighbor related, church related, where you are holding on and you're the person that's trying to control everything by holding on to those things. Will you take just a moment and through your prayer life with God, ask him to reveal what are those things that are getting in the way? What are those things that I'm trying to take control of in my life? Let him identify those things to you. Then, when you're ready to let go, will you simply open up your hands to let those things go? To give them up, to surrender them to God, to trust that he can manage those better than you do. And then I want to invite you to turn your hands around, palms up. Open them up like you want to receive. Ask God to pour into your life His blessings. Not so much in material blessings, but that may be your need. So I'm not going to disregard that. If that's what you need from Him, ask Him. He is faithful. He will give it. And He will honor His name, His kingdom, through all that. If you're here today, you want more of God, open up your hands. Let Him fill you. Let Him, you know, the scripture says that there are times when God opens the windows of heaven. Specifically there, it's talking about a financial blessing. But isn't the principle true? If it's not a financial thing, if it's something you have been begging God to do, could this be the moment when you are ready to receive what God wants to give you? Because sometimes we're not ready. Sometimes we're at a place in our life where we would not treat that gift in a God-pleasing way. But maybe right now God has prepared you to receive today what you have been longing for and what you have been hoping for. Open up your hands to God. Trust Him to fill your life with that blessing that He wants to give to you.